Welcome to Pretty Lies and Alibis. Let's seek the truth and travel the long road to justice together. What you know, alibiers, it's Monday again, part two of the Wagner testimony for the day. Not a whole lot to go through. It was a little bit of a slow afternoon, but we're going to knock it out. So we're ready for tomorrow. I think tomorrow may be wiretap day. That's what I've heard. So that should be interesting. Want to give a big thank you to Sharon from London for your donation. I appreciate you. Also, the Bangles had a lot of hits in the 80s. They were one of my favorites. Some of their songs are Walk Like an Egyptian, Eternal Flame, my personal favorite, but I did not know this. Manic Monday was written by none other than Prince himself. All right, let's jump in. The first witness after lunch opted out, but it was a very quick testimony. Her name was Barbara Moore, and she was George's former divorce attorney. And she essentially testified to the fact that both George and Tabby agreed with the terms of the divorce, and that was it. So Agent Ryan Scheider was back up today. And so he did some things with the truck that was used in the murders. And one thing he did was he recreated that platform that they made so that the boys could sneak underneath to be hidden when Billy went to Chris Sr.'s. And so they took 2x4s and a sheet of plywood, and then they screwed some screws down into that 2x4, pieces on each side, put the plywood on. And the 2x4s were vertical and the plywood, you know, was screwed down onto that. Once it was finished, they found 2 volunteers to get inside the bed for comparison to see what it looked like with 2 subjects laying down in that bed. They also were very smart in doing this. They chose 2 people who were larger in height and weight than both George and Jake, because I think one of the arguments about that was going to be that George is just too large at the time of the murders to have fit underneath. So they got a guy who was like 6'7" and well over 200 pounds. So they climbed in feet first, just like Jake described. They laid on their stomach, on their side, and on their back. They were able to enter the truck and exit with no issues. As we know, Billy came and let the gate of that truck down to allow the boys to get into position when they were going to murder Chris Sr. I have a picture of this up. The link will be in the description for all you who are just listening. But you can see here in the photos, just from different angles, the amount of room they had. Then that third picture, or the last picture from the next to last picture from the right, the men are inside there with the gate up. So you see these men who both were larger in size than both Jake and George easily fit into the truck. That is the same truck they bought and used for the murders. So that was kind of a preemptive strike on saying that George would not have been able to fit, because these men did. So the prosecution goes back to when the Wagners were traveling from Alaska to Missouri in 2018. They found out from the analysts who were listening to or monitoring the phones, they identified some phone numbers related to real estate agents or mortgage people in Missouri. So they contacted this person. He told them the property the Wagners were looking at and had put a bid on. So Agent Scheider and another agent traveled to Missouri to meet with Missouri authorities to put eyes on that property. They met with the prosecutor's office, the sheriff's office, and the Missouri State Patrol, and they were able to go to the property that the Wagners were interested in. They took photos all inside the residence because they had a plan to bug the house. And as we know, the loan was not approved, Agent Scheider said, due to suspicions of fraud, which about time that caught up with them. So prior to them trying to make the move to Missouri, Scheider went to Alaska. In February of 2018, him and other BCI agents and prosecutors, people from the prosecutor's office, met with state's attorney generals, Alaska state troopers, and the FBI to see about installing listening devices inside the house that the Wagners were going to lease on Melody Lane. It's the one we've shown pictures of. However, they moved before they could get all that set. Once the Wagners were back in Ohio and Jake and George were hired on by R&L Trucking, they contacted the vice president of operations to get permission to install listening devices on their vehicle that they would be assigned to. And so they were able to get the warrant out of Warren County, and R&L was cooperative. They installed four different devices, and it was a little bit more experience with this one. As we know, the ones they put in the car after the stop in Montana, just it really didn't record a lot that you could understand. But they got some help and found better devices that would give clearer audio. And they got an interception warrant from Franklin County, and that's actually the county where the listening station is located, where the agents are listening into the conversations. They also got interception warrants for all four of the Wagner's phones so they could listen to conversations between all of them. The employer gave BCI the routes that Jake and George would travel, and they started listening to these recordings, or they started monitoring the conversations in late May of 2018. So he explains, when you apply, you have to justify to the judge why the list of offenses may be discussed among the suspects. And so they do what we call tickling the wire, and they stimulate conversations by doing investigation activities, such as they took photos they recovered from that laptop that they seized in Montana of the 1911 pistol with Jake holding it, and they showed Chris and Rita Newcomb and people close to the Wagners. They also requested Rita and Angela provide those handwriting samples and also got the warrant to get the foot impressions from George, Jake, and Billy. So they obtained information from Montana also to stimulate conversations about things that was set up there. And so they had also purchased some of the items that the Wagners had purchased in preparation for the murders. And so Agent Scheider, what does he do? Well, he texts George. He texts a picture of the 1911 with the mag light flashlight. And he says, George, it's Special Agent Scheider from BCI. Would you be available today or tomorrow to meet and discuss the attached photos, which is Jake's hand holding the 1911, the other photo I just described, and then also a 1911 with a suppressor attached, and then a list of all the guns that Jake had on his phone. And he sent that text to George on June 14th, 2018. He also showed those items specifically to Chris Newcomb. BCI knew Angela was monitoring the message board topics. Now that's all gone. I'm trying to go on the Wayback Machine to see if it's archived. I really want to look through these. So what did Scheider do? He just made up some sock accounts and started posting things on there. And he would say things like, if a search was going to take place, he would kind of let it be known. He would reference searches that weren't going to happen and would give hints as to where the investigation was leading to. All this in an effort to stimulate conversations on the phones and in that truck that Jake and George would be driving in. So then we get, like, literally the rest of the day all pretty much is about the Boondock Saints 1 and 2. So Scheider and the prosecution team watched Boondock Saints 1 and 2. And so the main character are two twin brothers, one of which is played by none other than Jake's man idol, Norman Reedus. And the father of the brothers comes into the movies at some point. One thing they noted is that they used 1911's Berettas and a flashlight type suppressor attached to them. At the end of the second movie, there's a conversation the father has with his former best friend right before he shoots and kills him. So they have a hearing outside the jury about these objections, y'all, because they're going to go through the Boondock Saints and show the similarities. Prosecutor Canepa says Norman Reedus is one of the brothers, and the brothers are vigilante killers who believe the laws of God are higher than the law of man. They wear ski masks, just as Jake described they did the night of the murders. They use 1911s and Berettas in the movie. And that's also, if you remember, Jake tried to modify that Beretta, but it messed up and it destroyed the gun. So also the same gun George bought after the homicides was the Beretta. the father is there to kill his best friend, and he talks about the old fable of the scorpion and the frog. So Prosecutor Canepa tells the story to the judge. And so here is how it goes. The scorpion asks the frog for a ride across the river. And the frog's a little bit afraid because he knows the scorpion can sting you, which would kill you. And the frog expresses his fear of this. And the scorpion says, look, if you die, I die. So moot point, right? So the frog agrees. And halfway across the river, the scorpion stings the frog. And as the frog is dying and drowning, he asks the scorpion, why did you do that? And the scorpion says, you should never have trusted me. It's my nature. And they both die. So George gets the scorpion Billy gets the scorpion tattoo shortly after the murders. And then they start talking about they go back into these tattoos again. So Billy gets the scorpion tattoo shortly after the homicides. And if you're looking on the thing here, if you see Billy's tattoo in the middle bottom picture, it's on the trigger finger, and you look on the bottom row of photos, it's kind of the same area that George gets his tattoo. Billy. I'm getting Billy and George mixed up, y'all. Billy got the scorpion tattoo on his trigger finger, just like the character in the Boondock Saints. And that scorpion story, I guess, came in with the scorpion tattoo. So George gets the tattoo with the skull and the eight ball, which is the dead man's hand. So the prosecution talks about the copycat killings after the movie Natural Born Killers was released, and they cite some case law of cases where this movie was kind of the motivation for murder. And the judge said this should be tied in with somebody's testimony to have it make sense. And Prosecutor Canepa says the clip was played 4 hours before the homicides, as per Jake, and George watched. So the defense says, as far as the dying of the hair, Jake said the dying of the hair had nothing to do with the murders, and there were no 9 millimeter guns used in the murders. He says there's no evidence of Billy and Chris Sr. talking about a scorpion story or even come close to that. He says it's speculation, and with the tattoos, they're taking the tattoos and convincing the jury to take some kind of meaning for them. One thing to clear up from this morning's testimony with the tattoo artist, he did say that eight balls are commonly used to cover other tattoos. We know George did have another tattoo on that shoulder. Although it's not hard to figure out maybe why he got an eight ball tattoo, but that was one thing that was said. So the prosecution says we have testimony from Chris Newcomb, Randa, and Angela saying that Jake and George and Billy loved that movie and they were constantly quoting it. The judge says his thought has to do with the snippet played in close proximity to the murders, and it seems to open the door to allow that to be brought in. He said that the state should be able to present that and let the jury draw the conclusion, essentially. The prosecution says this was in discovery and they were aware this would come in. So the judge kind of gets, you know, a little fun for a second. He said, did you give them a DVD in discovery? And Prosecutor Canepa said they can find it on the interwebs. So the jury comes back in and Agent Scheider tells the scorpion and the frog fable to the jury. And he says the brothers also wore masks in the movie like Jake testified to in his proffer. So following the story, the father kills his best friend with the help of his two sons, and that's how the movie ends. They show a photo of the movie, and they have Scheider point out Norman Reedus, and they show a still shot of the brothers in the masks with the pistol that has the maglite suppressors before killing someone. So all those pictures are on the screen here. These were shown in court today, every one of them. And there is a photo of the father before shooting his best friend. I mean, Parker was objecting to every single picture that was thrown up. They show the photo of the dad with the two guns in his hand pointing out. And in one hand, he is holding a 1911. And in the other, he is holding a Beretta. There's the two close-up pictures of the brother's hand with the tattoo extending to the trigger finger holding that Beretta. If you remember, Billy was going to take the Beretta the night of the murders, but Jake broke it, and so he got the Glock. In Angela's proffer, Agent Scheider was there. It lasted 4.5 hours. And in Montana, it was just over 2 hours long. I thought we were going to get to cross, but they called it a day. So that was the end of it. So we'll have cross-exam of Agent Scheider tomorrow. I just got a text, actually, that they think maybe tomorrow will be the day we hear about the wiretap. So that will be good because I think the audio probably is a little bit better. And so I'm interested to see what that brought up. But that's it for tonight. I'm taking my girls shopping at the mall for some new clothes for their picture day. I'll be back at it tomorrow. We'll wrap up another day in the George Wagner trial. Hope you guys have a good rest of your evening.